Hi there, I'm Richard. I'm the senior pastor of Every Nation Auckland City. We are a multicultural, multi-generational, socially responsible church that makes disciples. We hope this message inspires you to honor God and make disciples.
So as Pastor Richard said, my name's Karina, for those that are visiting, for those who don't know me. And yes, I'm a missionary with Every Nation Auckland City. Yes. we are in the series, I Am Jonah, and this is our last installment. But before we get into the word, I want to ask, does anybody know what a first responder is? Any medical people out there hopefully know what a first responder is. A first responder is a person with specialized training who is amongst the first to arrive and provide assistance at the scene of emergency. In our common world of emergencies, it might be a paramedic, a firefighter, or a police officer. So a number of years ago, I was flatting with some girls from church, and we went on Labor Day weekend up to a place up north called Goat Island for a day trip. And I was really excited to just go chill at the beach, read, just have a day out. And I had positioned myself just slightly away from my friends, which I know for some people who know me is kind of strange because I am an extrovert, but every now and then I do need some time alone. Suddenly, my physio friend came running down the beach to find me, saying that someone had drowned and they needed help. Without hesitation, I jumped up and ran, believe it or not, I ran down the beach, and assisted with CPR until the air ambulance arrived. It seemed like forever that we were trying to revive this person. And despite our best efforts, early on it was clear to me, this person was not going to be revived. The window of opportunity had passed. However, we didn't stop until the experts arrived, because we saw that there was a job to do. I'm really excited to talk to you today about some lessons that I've learned from the life of Jonah. But before we get started, let's pray. Father, I pray for every person here today and those online. May your Holy Spirit draw us closer to you as we learn from Scripture. Help me, Jesus. Anoint the words that come forth. May we hear what you desire us to hear. Let only your wisdom and truth remain. In Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of my sermon today, sounds so weird to say that, is Prayer is for Everyone. And there's a little play on words there that I'm hopefully going to explain to you, but prayer is for everyone. So unlike experts or professionals, prayer is for everyone. And no matter what area your heart is today, prayer is for everyone. The book of Jonah is full of prayers, which if you've been following along with the series, you would have seen, both from Jonah himself, but also from the sailors in chapter 1, the Ninevites in chapter 3, and chapter 2 is the big response from Jonah, it's a whole thing is a prayer, to the Lord after his disobedience in chapter 1. Again, in chapter 4, we see the interesting exchange between Jonah and the Lord. Although the book is full of prayers, as I studied, I found it interesting that from God's first request in chapter 1, Jonah's first response was not to pray, but to run. I'm sure that wouldn't be your response to God when he asks you to do something that you think is crazy, but I know it's often been mine, especially when God asks me to do something I really don't want to do. So, what is prayer? If prayer is for everyone, we kind of need to know what prayer is, right? So, according to my Bible dictionary, prayer is communion with God. So, what is communion? Is it that wafer and bit of juice that we have? No, in this respect, communion is the act or the instance of sharing. Yes. Communion is intimate fellowship with God. Some elements of prayer, sincere prayer, as you can see on the slide, include adoration or showing affection and devotion to God, confession to boldly proclaim, supplication, which is what we're going to talk about today, which means earnest or sincere prayer, intercession, which is prayer on behalf of others, and thanksgiving or expressing gratitude. So those are some of the elements of prayer. But today we're going to focus on supplication, or what I like to call sincere prayer. So Jesus was a model for his followers in the practice of prayer. He rose early in the morning to pray. He prayed all night before choosing the 12. Jesus prayed in Gethsemane on the night of his betrayal. And Jesus even prayed for his enemies whilst he was on the cross. I can't believe that. That's insane. He prayed for his enemies. And Jesus also gave his disciples the model of prayer to follow in their communion, intimacy, intimate fellowship with the Father in Matthew 6. And that's commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. So in his book, Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools, this book, which I highly recommend to anybody that wants to grow in their prayer life, fantastic book. It's not a paid advertisement, by the way, guys. It's a great book. You can buy it on Amazon, I think. But Tyler Staton says that prayer, at its simplest and most straightforward, is asking God for help. Prayer at its simplest and most straightforward is asking God for help. And I think that that's somewhere that no matter where you are today, everyone can start there. So prayer is a way of the way in which we communicate with God. However, prayer is more than just your head or your mind. Prayer is about positioning your heart to communicate with God. Heart prayers are about transparency and vulnerability. So let's take a look at an aspect of Jonah and God's relationship through that lens of prayer. So our key text today is from Jonah 3, 8b, which is the second half of verse 8, to chapter 4, verse 4, and it's from the NIV. So it starts with the king of Nineveh saying, "Let everyone call or pray urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish." When God saw what they did, there's an implication of action. And how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. I find it fascinating that a people not of God called on God, and God not only heard them, he changed the course of his action. Not the people of God, people far from God. In chapter 4, verse 1, we see Jonah's big response. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you were gracious and compassionate, God." Can you hear his accusation of God? "I knew that you were gracious and compassionate, God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." I mean, drama. But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah is so dramatic. I don't know about you, but I'm never dramatic in my life when things don't go my way. Not at all. And I'm never dramatic when God doesn't do what I want him to do. Sadly, for those that know me, I am very much like Jonah. But today I want to highlight something beyond the incredible and mind-blowing nature of God, which was his compassion. And I want to highlight something beyond the selfishness and cruelty of Jonah. I want to highlight the relationship that Jonah had with God. Jonah does not hold back in telling God what he really thinks. And surprisingly, God not only listens, but he engages in conversation with Jonah. Does that blow anyone else's mind? Like, the God of the universe, the creator of all things, he doesn't shut Jonah down, he engages him in conversation. This tells me a few things about their relationship that I think are helpful for us today when we consider prayer, when we consider our relationship with God, and we consider our love for others. So our first point today is, for those that are taking notes, is prayer is the measure of relationship. So polite prayers come from the head, but deep, raw prayers come from the heart. Jonah was mad at God. Have you ever been so mad that you can't pray? Have you ever been so mad that you're like, stick your fingers in your ears, put your head under a pillow, nah, I'm not listening? I'm sure none of you have. I know I have. Have you ever just refused to listen to God? Nope. Talk to the hand. Jonah knew the character of God. He knew that he was kind and compassionate. And Jonah was happy to receive that kindness and compassion from God for himself. He was okay with God's blessings as long as it fit with his agenda, his criteria. But the minute that God extended kindness and compassion to those that Jonah did not think were worthy of it, he flipped out so much that he wanted to die. Again, my mind blows. Have you ever been so angry with God that you want to die because he's doing something kind and good to someone else? I'm sure you guys haven't. What I think is really interesting about the relationship Jonah had with God is it was so deep and so real and so raw. In verse 4, God doesn't get angry with Jonah or shut him down or reprimand him or tell him off. What does God do? He answers Jonah. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, but the Lord replied. He prayed to God and then says all this stuff. And then God replied. It was within God's right to shut Jonah down, to reel off, don't you know who I am? Don't you know I'm the God of the universe? I can do whatever I want. But he didn't do that. And when I read the text, it says he replied. To me, that sounds like conversation. He didn't state. He didn't imply. He replied. So what I learned from this is that Jonah could be his dramatic and selfish self with God. His relationship with God was not polite. It was real, it was raw, and God could handle it. It was real, it was raw, and God could handle it. The picture of this relationship, it's foreign to me. I grew up with the phrase, children are to be seen and not heard. And you do not question authority, let alone challenge it. But Jonah was his raw and real self with God, and God could handle it. So this picture of God the Father engaging in conversation with the stroppy, angry, challenging, emotional, and totally unreasonable Jonah gets me thinking, maybe I can be raw with God when I talk and pray to him. Maybe he can handle my humanness just like he did Jonah's. It's an interesting thought, isn't it? Something to consider. Do we bypass raw, real prayer because it's painful? Because it's embarrassing? Because it's not how we were raised? It's impolite? It's disrespectful? Or is it that we don't want God to really see us? See who we really are in our heart? Or do we ourselves not want to see who we really are? Selfish, uncaring, proud. Jonah's. This exchange with God and Jonah reminds me of Jesus and the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus pours out his heart to the Father without restriction. In Mark 14, I'm going to read. In Mark 14, it says, they went to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, sit here while I go and pray. He took Peter, James, and John with him and became deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He went a little further and fell to the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. Abba, Father, he cried out, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Jesus fell to the ground. Jesus cried out. Jesus let it all out with the Father. He didn't hold back. He also didn't lose faith in who God was because of the circumstances that were in front of him. How could Jesus relate to the Father like this? I think it's because Jesus often left the crowd to be with the Father. Jesus had such a safe relationship with the Father that he was safe to reveal his whole self to the Father. Jesus had such a safe relationship with the Father that he himself was safe to reveal his whole self to the Father. Prayer was the measure of relationship between Jesus and God the Father. So if Jesus pours out his heart to the Father without restriction, and we're supposed to be like Jesus, does that mean we can pray like that too? I think it does. I think the answer is yes. I think God wants us to be our real self with him. And why? Because unlike anybody else, any other in our lives, he can handle it. Imagine what might happen in our relationship with God if we were our true, vulnerable, messy self. Number two, prayer reflects the heart. So Jonah did not pray for the Ninevites. Instead, Jonah got mad with God when he saved them. We do what we love. Our hearts are not easily fooled. We know what we love and what we don't. I like chocolate ice cream. I'm not a big fan of Hokey Pokey. We know what we love and what we don't. I'm a Friends fan, not really The Office. I know, controversial. We know what we love and what we don't. I'm not an iPhone person, sorry. I'm a cheap Android person. We know what we love and what we don't. And it's not that our hearts don't know the right thing. It's just our hearts don't want to obey. Just like Jonah, he knew the right thing. He just didn't want to obey. I can't help but think and wonder, what if Jonah's response in chapter 1 was not to run, but to pray? What would the rest of the book and the story of Jonah look like? Just a thought. So prayer reflects the heart. We know what we love and what we don't. God fully knows me and fully sees me. And yet, he still loves me. God fully knows you and fully sees you. And yet, he still loves you. God knows my seasons and my struggles, and God knows your seasons and your struggles. And God still wants to partner with you and me anyway. God didn't need Jonah to save the Ninevites. He didn't. He was God. He could have used any means to speak to the Ninevites. There's a scripture that says that if we don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. I often say that during worship. I'm like, I'm not going to be outdone by a rock. Right? There's a story in the Bible of God using a donkey to speak to somebody. Like, God did not need Jonah. He could have used any means possible. But God gave Jonah an opportunity to partner with what I like to call his mission of love. That mission of love was to save a whole city from destruction. Philip Yancey says that prayer is the act of seeing reality from God's point of view. Prayer is the act of seeing reality from God's point of view. Prayer gives us an opportunity for change of vision and change of heart. Prayer gives us an opportunity for change of vision and therefore a change of heart. If Jonah had prayed first, perhaps his vision, how he saw, might have been different. Maybe he wouldn't have run from God and run from their relationship. So what are we seeing? How's your vision this morning? Are you seeing God's reality or only your own? We need prayer because we need God to change our hearts so he can change our vision. Without God helping us, just like Jonah, we will see through our human reality and our flawed human condition, not with eyes of faith or compassion. Not like Jesus. We need prayer because we need God to change our hearts so he can change our vision. We can't will our hearts to change because only God can change the heart. So what can we do? We can position our hearts to be changed by God. If we want to be disciples of Jesus, we need a heart change and some new eyes. It reminds me of a guy called Saul, the Christian killer, in Acts chapter 9, who lost his vision only to have Jesus restore it and help him see the world in a completely different way. And because of that, he became Paul the Apostle, and because of Jesus, Paul changed the world forever. He's still changing it today when we read from Scripture. Number 3, prayer leads to love. So once we've had our sight correction surgery in our hearts, not these eyes, the eyes of your heart, through communion with God in prayer, only then can we respond from the heart to God's call to the mission of love. And like Paul, the call of Jesus is to all believers, the call to live a life of loving others. This love looks like obedience to Jesus' command to his disciples, as seen in Matthew 28. And I'm going to read from verse 17, because I think there's something really interesting that sometimes gets missed. It says, when they, the disciples, saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am all with you always to the end of the age. And I think it's so interesting in verse 17. It says, when the disciples saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. I wonder if the ones that doubted were the ones that had not allowed their hearts to be changed, the eyes of their heart to be changed so that they could really see Jesus. When we allow communion with God to change our vision, this verse becomes not an obligation or a guilt trip, but an adventure to the most important call of your life, to love like Jesus and obey our Heavenly Father. Responding to God in prayer, just like a first response or as a first response, requires practice. Just like I had many days of training on how to respond to hospital emergencies long before any real emergencies in the community, I had been trained. I couldn't have responded to an emergency in the community had I not been trained in the hospital. And just like that, we need to train in prayer. If we don't train, it won't become our first response. I will. Thank you. If we don't train in prayer, it won't become our first response. And what is that first response? The first response to the mission of love. In his book, Prayer, Finding the Heart's True Home, Richard Foster says, if we truly love people, we will desire for them far more than it is within our power to give them. And this will lead us to prayer. Intercession is a way of loving others. In the ongoing work of the kingdom of God, nothing is more important than intercessory prayer. If we truly love people, if we truly love people, the love God calls us to, it's beyond our humanity. We can't do it. We can't love like he asks us to love in our humanity, because he calls us to love sacrificially. The kind of love that puts a man on the cross who can then pray for his enemies whilst on that cross. A holy love that is humanly impossible. So true love, God's way, will lead us to prayer because we know we don't have what we need to give. Because in our humanity, we don't want to die for love. Look at Jonah. He wanted to die because of God's love for others, because he didn't think they were worthy. To love like God means we need God to empower us. And this happens when we pray. So when I was a child, a long time ago, my mum would get us to iron the kitchen towels, my dad's handkerchiefs, and even face cloths, or in Australia we call them face washers. She didn't need them ironed. She wasn't that kind of mother that ironed everything. But she was trying to involve us in learning. It was something she could easily do on her own, but she was teaching us how to contribute to the family home and preparing us for life ahead. She didn't need the tea towels ironed. She really didn't. No offence to anyone that irons their tea towels. If you do, awesome. But she didn't need them ironed. But she was using it as a way to train us for a greater purpose in life. School shirts and work shirts. I don't know, did anyone wear a shirt that you had to iron to go to school? I went to that kind of school. So yeah, so we started with tea towels and handkerchiefs and face cloths so that we could then move on to more complicated stuff, shirts. She first showed us and we watched. And then we had a go and she watched, mostly probably to make sure we didn't burn ourselves or burn down the house. And because I learnt from her, I became more like her. But I had to start at the beginning. I hate to think what those shirts would have looked like if I hadn't started on tea towels. And just like my mum, God gives us an opportunity to be involved in his family work, the mission to love, starting at the beginning with prayer. Prayer doesn't begin with us, it begins with God. It doesn't start with speaking, it starts with seeing. If I can have the keys, Kat, that'd be great. Through prayer, God gives us the opportunity to learn how to be more like him, which is the call of every disciple, every follower of Jesus. And just like first responders, God gives us an opportunity to partner through prayer to change the way we see people and therefore love people because we see them like he does. God gives us an opportunity to partner through prayer to change the way we see people and therefore love people because we see them like he does. In Matthew 22, Jesus said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind." This is the first and great commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. So what can we do about this call to the mission of love? Prayer is our first response to God's call to the mission of love. Jonah didn't see the Ninevites as God did. Jonah couldn't have predicted how the Ninevites would respond to the word of God. Actually, contrary to that, everything he knew about the Ninevites told him that they wouldn't respond. But God knew. God knows the heart of every person he's created. Yes. He doesn't need us to reach his children, but he gives us an opportunity to be part of the family business. When God called Jonah, the Ninevites were not the people Jonah had in mind, but they were the people God had chosen for Jonah to go to. You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I, Jesus, say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors, nurses, bankers, students, mums, engineers, do that. If you only love those who love you, what reward is there for that? If you are only kind to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even unbelievers do that. but you are to be perfect. And I believe in the context of this scripture, it means perfect in love. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's not me. That's Matthew 5. That's scripture. If you only love those who love you, what reward is there for that? If you're only kind to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? We are called as the people of God to be different. When he called us out of darkness into his glorious light, he was calling us to be different. I want us to take a moment to just close our eyes, to reduce distraction, and to ponder some questions. Who are the Ninevites that God has called you to? Who are the people that God has already put in your path that he wants you to love, to pray for? Can you see them? In your workplace, in your classes, at the bank, at the supermarket? Can you see them? At the service station, at the movie theater, in your part-time job, your full-time job, the Uber driver, the person in your study group? Can you see them? In your choir, in your basketball team, your flatmates, your siblings? Can you see them? Will you be a first responder? Will you love? Will you pray? Can you see them? Will you love? Will you pray? Can you see them? Will you love them? Will you pray? We're going to take some time to pray, and let's just all keep our eyes closed. I want to pray for a group of people that today want to say yes to the mission of love, who want to start the practice of prayer. If that's you, if Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, even through your fear, your perceived inadequacy, even in your reluctance, I just encourage you to pop your hand on your heart just so that I know who I'm praying for. Lord Jesus, you see your sons and daughters who want to say yes to the mission of love. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Draw them close. Give them eyes to see and ears to hear. I pray for a hunger in them to come away to the secret place with you, where they can be raw and they can be real and you can change them, that you can change their eyes and help them to see how you see. Empower them through your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that you're not asking us to do anything that you yourself haven't already done. You're not asking us to go somewhere you didn't already go, but you're going to go with us. So I pray in the Spirit for a shift in the hearts of your children that are saying yes to the mission of love. There's a second prayer that I'd love to pray this morning for those that find themselves in this room and they realize, like Jonah, they've been off on a run. Or maybe they've never actually known God, but there's some desire to come closer and perhaps get to know him. If that's you, pop your hand on your heart and I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to draw you. Lord God, we just thank you that no matter where we find ourselves this morning, that until we're face to face with you, there's always room to grow. There's always proximity that we can have to you that is greater. And for those, Lord, who are questioning if you're real, if you're who you truly say you are, I pray, Lord, that you would continue to reveal yourself to them. Not by might and not by power, but through your Spirit. In Jesus' name. There's one last thing that I would like us to do this morning as a church family. I'd like us to all stand together. And we're going to pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew 6. And we're going to do it from the Passion Translation. Sometimes when we hear something over and over, the words can lose their meaning, a little bit like what Pastor Richard said this morning with lyrics to a song. Sometimes scripture that is really well known to us or that we've learnt at school or in youth group can lose their meaning. And so using another translation sometimes helps bring to life the truth of the word. So we're going to read Matthew 6 together on the count of three. One, two, three. Our beloved Father, dwelling in the heavenly realms, may the glory of your name be the center on which our lives turn. Manifest your kingdom realm and cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth, just as it is in heaven. We acknowledge you as our provider of all we need each day. Forgive us the wrongs we have done, as we ourselves release forgiveness to those who have wronged us. Rescue us every time we face tribulation and set us free from evil. For you are the King who rules with power and glory forever. Amen. Lord God, we ask that you please help us. We want to love you and we want to love others. Help us to desire what you desire. Help us to remember that we love first because you first loved us. Help us to love others from a place of being loved by you. We cannot strive to love others, Lord, but we can love from the overflow of being loved by you. Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing unto you. Let our lives reflect you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. To know more about Every Nation Auckland City, you can visit our website at www.everynationauckland.city. For more messages like this, you can subscribe to this podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.